We're back with Talk of the Town, and on Talk of the Town in this portion, we're going to have two guests from Holland Hospital. We have Alicia Jones, breast nerve nurse navigator. Boy, that's
Got
a
it.
Mouthful. And then we have Jane Pettingen, doctor, surgeon, and breast services. Good morning to you both.
Good morning
to
you.
All right. Got some good questions to ask this morning, and so let's start off with... I should mention that starting in October, we hear a lot about breast cancer because it's Breast Awareness Month, okay? Mm-hmm. And what services does Holland Hospital offer to patients in need of breast health services?
Well, we have abundant services, starting with breast imaging. We have both screening and diagnostic mammograms. We have 3D or mammograms or tomosynthesis. We have breast MRI. We have breast ultrasound. We can do needle biopsies using any of those modalities. We also have radioactive seed localization, which is not very common. And I think most important, the program has attained the highest quality standard given out by the American College of Radiology, a breast imaging center of excellence, which you have to show that you do everything correct, and you have to then evaluate what you do to make sure it's of the highest quality. So
yeah,
they work very hard, and they did attain that, which is wonderful. In addition, we do all types of breast surgery, both for benign and cancerous diseases, including breast reconstruction for women who either need or choose to have mastectomy. We have radiation therapy in town at La Rock. Medical oncology services are provided by the private medical oncologists. We have our nurse navigator sitting to my left. Every 2 weeks, we have a multi-specialty breast tumor clinic where the pathologists, the radiologists, the surgeons, medical oncologists, radiation oncologists, our nurse navigators, our tumor registrar get together and discuss individual cases so that we can come up with a combined opinion of the best way to attack an individual's cancer, which I think is a real nice service for our patients that they don't always even know about. We also have support services such as social work and support groups. We have specialized physical and occupational therapy to help women after their cancer surgeries and also for lymphedema prevention and treatment. We also have a high-risk clinic for women who have been shown to have certain features that give them an increased risk, where they can go and find out about risk-reducing strategies and have genetic counseling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a bit.
Yeah. A lot of services.
Yes, and we're proud of it.
Yeah, yeah. And some of those are new services, right?
Yeah. The ones I'd like to highlight are the tomosynthesis mammogram with tomosynthesis. This is almost like a CAT scan of the breast. This is especially helpful for women who have dense breast tissue, because if you squeeze the whole breast, you got a lot of tissue in there to look through.
Yeah.
And instead, the tomosynthesis takes like little slices through the breast, pictures of slices through the breast, so that you can more easily see things. The nice thing is that it finds more cancers, so it's a better test. It also can better tell the benign things so that women have to come back less often for additional tests. So that's a win-win situation.
Yeah.
The other radiology thing we have is radioactive seed localization. When we need to remove something from the breast that is only seen on mammogram and we can't feel, we have to pinpoint that for the surgeon. And the standard way is to have the radiologist put a little needle into the breast, and we follow the needle down. I'm a surgeon, so I'm talking that way. Down to the area and take the correct area out. And it works very well. The radioactive seed localization was developed at Mayo Clinic, and instead of that wire, a small little radioactive pellet is placed in the breast, and that can be done a few days ahead of time. So it's more convenient for the patient, and we use a Geiger counter to find the right spot. And it has been shown to be a little bit, and once you get used to it, it's a little bit more accurate, and you can take out less breast tissue and get the same results.
Mm-hmm.
The high-risk clinic is something that has just started up in the last few months, and we are trying to identify women who have increased risk, particularly family history of breast cancer, breast biopsies that have shown abnormal cells. It's not cancer, but it's not really normal. There's several different risk factors that women can have, that increase their risk for breast cancer. And what do they do about that? Well, this is a clinic that is, it's about once a week, and it's staffed by myself, Dr. Barb Dupree, and Dr. Lori Burkholz, and we evaluate what the women's risk is, let them know about that, and then we make a plan. You know, there's several steps that women can take. It's not just all gloom and doom. There are things that women can be proactive about and do to decrease their risk for breast cancer. We have also contracted with a company that provides genetic counseling over the phone, and then we can also do the testing for people who may have an abnormal gene, which increases their risk.
Mm-hmm.
Another new program is something called LDEC scanning. For many women who have breast cancer, we also take out a lymph node from the armpit to see if the cancer has spread there. And when we do that, that puts them at risk for swelling of the arm because the fluid in the arm can back up. It's been shown that if we can catch that swelling really early, we can treat it with just a support sleeve for a few weeks, and then often it never comes back. But we have to have a way to measure that, and this LDEC scan is a way to measure that. So we measure it before surgery and then periodically after. And it's not a real common thing, so we're lucky to have that. And finally, something that really helps our patients is our nurse navigator.
Oh.
And I'd like her to just say a few things about what she does.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I typically meet patients at the time of their biopsy or shortly after they receive their diagnosis of breast cancer. I'm just kind of their main support and contact person as they go through their journey of treatment and recovery after treatment. Help to coordinate care of those patients, make sure appointments are happening in a timely manner, help to remove barriers to care if they're having issues with transportation, financial concerns, just kind of a general lack of support. I have some patients that don't have a lot of, you know, family support and maybe need to go to some of these doctor appointments by themselves, and I'll accompany them to just be a support person for them and kind of be that extra set of ears for them to help them understand what's going on. I'll help to connect them with a lot of the different community resources in town, wigs, mastectomy products. We're very fortunate to have the Women's Health Boutique here in the Airway Oxygen building on South Washington. They have all of our mastectomy products that we need, compression garments, wigs, hats, scarves. So I help connect patients with all of those resources. We have a couple support groups that are meeting here locally. The first one is called the Bosom Buddies Breast Cancer Support Group, and they meet the first Tuesday of each month at 7 o'clock at Holland Hospital, and then we've recently started a Spanish-speaking support group called Latinas Unidas, and that meets the first Wednesday of each month at St. Francis de Sales Church as well. So,
from a physician standpoint, Alicia just sort of paves the way for these patients because they have so many tests, are seeing so many doctors, have so many appointments, it just becomes overwhelming. And sometimes they aren't sure, well, which doctor am I supposed to talk to? Because, of course, the doctors are happy to talk to them and get them through it, too.
Right.
But one number to call, one person to talk to who will then say, oh, this is where you have to go, or I'll make the call for you, and we'll get you through this is wonderful.
Yeah. Kind of help direct them through the maze of healthcare.
Right. Indeed.
Yep.
And we're talking this morning to a doctor and a nurse about breast cancer, and if you have questions, give us a jingle here at 395-1450. All right. And how do women who don't have the means get services that they can't afford a mammogram? Or how do we do this?
There are some state programs, but there's a lot of women who fall in between the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, we have started a fund at Holland Hospital to pay for screening mammograms, the diagnostic workup, and even the biopsy,
mm-hmm.
because some of the other federal and state programs do not pay for the biopsies. And the physicians involved have agreed to charge the lowest price that is allowed by law, as is Holland Hospital. It's been funded so far by individual donors, such as, I got to make a shout out to Mr. Dick Kreisinger, who gave us a very generous donation.
Very nice.
Also, Susan Komen Foundation grant. We have community fundraising events, such as the Black River Volleyball game. We have a Get One, Give One campaign, encouraging women to get their mammograms. And if they get one and have the means to give money to let someone else have a mammogram. And I have to also put a shout out to New Holland Brewing Company. They are having a fundraising event in October for this fund.
Really?
They have brewed a special beer called New Holland Pink New Holland Pink Ribbon Light Lager. Not Light Lager, yes. And they also have a Pink Ribbon Champagne Cocktail. And a portion of every time you buy one of those, a portion of that will go to this fund. And I just want to make a comment that over the last 5 years or so, screening mammograms have come under a lot of attack, and it's hard to figure out why. The studies that have been done superficially look like mammograms don't matter, but those that are in the field feel that they are looking at the data in the wrong way. So the in my mind, and many studies have shown no question that women who get regular mammograms have a lower risk of dying of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty important. So the American Cancer Society recommendations, the American Society of Breast Surgeons, the American College of Radiology still recommend that women get mammograms every year starting at 40 and yearly until they're at a point where they have less than a 5 to 10 year lifespan. Mm-hmm. So there is really no age limit. Depends on how healthy you are. If you think you're going to be around for a few years, then you should still get your mammograms.
Yeah.
And we want women who can't afford it to get that also. We've been working closely with City on a Hill in Zealand and with Intercare and with the Holland Community Health Center to try to identify those individuals. And if anybody is listening that needs breast services and doesn't know where to get it because they don't have the money to afford it, I want to let you know that we can help.
Good.
We've seen too many cases where women delayed until it was quite late.
I always have to say that men should not turn their heads because it happens to men too, right?
Yes.
It does. And it's expected that approximately 1% of all breast cancer cases are in males. It's more prevalent in families who have an abnormal gene. Usually it presents with a lump. So men should be aware of their bodies, including their breasts.
Right.
And if they find a lump, don't just laugh it off. Come in and have it checked.
By all means. All right. 395-1450 is our number if you have a question you'd like to ask of the doctor and the nurse this morning. And we mentioned what a nurse navigator is, and that's something that helps you through all of it. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I do a lot of hand-holding, which is a great part of my job.
Yeah, yeah.
Just trying to keep things organized for people and keep things on track.
She also is a navigator for patients in mammography.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's she sort of wears two hats, and with a lot, most of it is individual.
They keep you busy.
They do.
Yeah. Okay.
Overly busy.
All right. What events are going to be going on in the community for Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Well, just this past Saturday, this event has already gone by, but Holland Hospital was a sponsor for the Susan Komen 5K Race for a Cure in Grand Rapids, and that was a wonderful event. Coming up on September 29th, Holland Hospital is a member of the West Michigan Coalition for Breast Health, and we have an annual event that we put on at the Prince Conference Center in Grand Rapids. It runs from 5 to 9 in the evening. There's a dinner and then some speakers. The program is entitled Survivorship, A New Normal. So that's happening on September 29th. Like Dr. Penninga mentioned, we do have the Black River Public School volleyball fundraising event. That's October 9th. And then we also have the American Cancer Society Making Strides Against Breast Cancer 5K Walk, which is on October 10th. And Holland Hospital is a flagship sponsor of that event. And that's a wonderful fundraiser for the American Cancer Society and specifically for breast cancer funds for research and
Yeah.
There was a time that breast cancer was cause for immediate panic, and it's still very concerning to people when it happens to someone you love. And but the chances of cure today are pretty good.
Yeah, if you look at all breast cancer, the best and worst all combined, the five-year survival rates are about 80%, mm-hmm. which is pretty darn good. There's been, any time a diagnosis is made, it's an urgent situation, but it's not an emergent situation.
Mm-hmm.
Women do have time to settle down, have time to make decisions, have time for second opinions if they like. We like to move it along, but it doesn't have to be done tomorrow. So they, you can relax. There's been some controversy, a paper that was written and just it was published in the last few weeks about something called ductal carcinoma in situ, which is the very earliest type of cancer. It's cancer cells contained inside the breast ducts. And if they're contained inside the ducts, they don't have access to the blood or the lymph, so they can't spread anywhere. So it's a stage zero. And it's highly, highly curable, 98% cure rates. And it's probably curable no matter what we, how we treat it. There was a recent study that looked at a database that's across the country at 108,000 women who had had DCIS between the 60s and the present. And I think that some of the people misinterpreted the conclusion, not the conclusions, but the data, because it showed that women who were treated had a low rate of dying, but higher than the women in the normal population who did not have DCIS. Mm-hmm. So it does need to be treated. We think that we probably over-treat a lot of it because the rates are so good and we're finding it so early. The problem is that we don't know who needs to be treated and who doesn't.
Right.
And some papers were saying we should just watch this, we shouldn't even biopsy, we shouldn't go there. And I think that's kind of playing with fire. At a minimum, this needs to be biopsied and removed and then have a very careful discussion about radiation, about anti-hormone drugs, etc. There's no chemotherapy involved with the DCIS.
Some women, I know they have a record of breast cancer in their family, and they have a mastectomy to.
Yes,
in
this
response
is the,
to that.
Such as Angelina Jolie. If an abnormal gene is found in the patient, there could be it could be in the family. If your mother has this abnormal gene, each daughter has a 50-50 chance of having the mm-hmm. gene because you get one gene from your dad, one gene from your mom. If you have the abnormal gene, you have somewhere between a 40 and 85% chance of getting breast cancer. If the breast cancer and a 20 to 40% chance of getting ovarian cancer. If you've had a lot of women in your family who have had these diseases and have died of these diseases, it's going to be a little bit more in your face. And a little bit more concerning. There are things that we can do short of having removing the breasts and ovaries. As far as ovarian cancer, women can take birth control pills. Still, once somebody reaches close to menopause, it is recommended that we remove the tubes and ovaries. As far as the breasts go, there are lifestyle changes that we can do. We can increase their how often or the ways we screen them, so that we hopefully find things even earlier. There are drugs that can decrease the risk so that not everybody has to have the surgery. Some women will choose it, and that's absolutely fine. It decreases mm-hmm. the risk of getting breast cancer by 90%, which is it's not 100%, but that's awfully darn good.
Yes, it is. It is.
So it's a very reasonable choice.
What's the average time frame that a woman could look forward to if she were diagnosed today? A year?
Oh, you mean to live?
Of course, yes.
Oh, no, most women will have a normal lifespan because most women survive it, and they die of something else.
How long does it take for treatment?
Oh, well, that's one of the quality measures that hospitals look at. Time from the first abnormal mammogram to the time to the biopsy to the time to first treatment. And we would definitely like it to be within 3 months. It's usually within 1 month, mm-hmm. and often within a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But that takes a lot of coordination on the hospital, on the part of mammography and doctor's offices and getting the woman to the right person. This is part of Alicia's job. Yeah,
that's where I come in.
Right.
You can talk a little bit about that, what to do with mammography.
Yeah. When patients come in, if we have a patient come in with an abnormal mammogram, I will often meet with them and help kind of coordinate getting them back in for their biopsy, just trying to facilitate and speed that process up. And then often I'll meet with them again at the time of their biopsy. Hopefully I won't need to meet with them much after that. If the biopsy is a benign result, then we're done. If it does come back malignant, then I continue to work with them and get them plugged into where they need to be for their
and
treatment.
having a set of eyes on that patient, mm-hmm. Alicia's eyes.
Right,
I mean,
they're,
you know, their doctors are and the radiologist, but having a set of eyes that is part of her job to make sure nobody falls through the cracks, that the doctor gets the report correctly, is notified, facilitates any referrals that need to be
done. I think
done.
It's a great comfort, too, for the patients because they have my direct phone number.
Oh,
and they can call me directly with any questions, any concerns, and I'm there to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than just kind of being sent on their way saying, you know, you'll hear from us, I meet with them, give them my phone number, and they've got a person that they can call.
I know during the Awareness Month, we tried to get out as much information as possible. Now, if people want more information on breast cancer, where can they get more?
There's many websites. We typically like to give patients these websites because a lot of times when people just start getting out there and surfing the internet, they find information that's not necessarily good information. Some of the websites that we really like, there's one, breastcancer.org, the American Cancer Society website, which is cancer.org, or the Susan Komen website, komen.org. Those are three really good ones,
mm-hmm.
where they're easy to navigate through the site and search any information you might want to get. I think where people need to be careful is a lot of these little pop-up things that pop up alongside, and you go,
yeah.
Oh, what's that? And you start clicking through things, and you get to blogs and things where people can be sharing information that might not actually be accurate information.
Or they might be selling some kind of medicine.
Absolutely, absolutely. So people need to be careful what they're reading, and I think it's smart to stick with some of those reputable websites that
right.
you know is going to have good information.
And if a listener would like more information, where can they call?
They can call me, Alicia Jones.
All right.
355-3871.
355-3871.
Yep. Right
okay.
to my desk.
And if anyone is interested in donating to the Breast Care Fund to give mammograms to women in need, they can call Colleen Perdoc, P-E-R-D-O-C-K, at 355-3975. Also, they can go to the Holland Hospital website and click on Donate, and there'd be a place to give online also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is to help people that normally can't afford.
Correct.
This is to help to make sure that women get the care they need instead of, you know, women get busy. They say, oh, no, I gotta take care of my kids, you know, financial stuff first.
Yeah.
I have to pay the gas bill. I have to do this, do that. I'm not going to take the time for myself. In the meantime, this lump that she felt is getting bigger and bigger.
This is the first thing you have to pay attention to.
Yes. Yeah. And if they feel they have nowhere to turn, they, you know, too many women will sacrifice themselves for the rest of the family. And if they knew that there was a place that there were funding so they could get their mammogram and then get taken care of, for women who don't have health insurance, once they are diagnosed with breast cancer, it's usually a pretty easy step to get put on Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
So being afraid of the cost of the care, and once a diagnosis is made, should not be a barrier either. And if even women who are not feeling lumps, we know that screening mammograms help. So if they don't have access to they're over 40 and don't have access to mammograms because they can't afford it, we have the fund for women in Ottawa County.
Mm-hmm.
And you call Alicia.
Yep.
She'll get you hooked up where you need to go.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then the treatment starts as soon as possible afterward?
Yeah, pretty much. As I said, there is time. There's enough time to let a woman think about things if she has choices, because sometimes there are choices. See a second opinion if she wants. But, the surgeries often we can schedule within a week.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman needs or selects a mastectomy, we have to have and would like reconstruction. We need to get them into a plastic surgeon also, and that usually, we're talking 2 or 3 weeks. If somebody has a bad family history and is thinking about having both breasts removed to treat their cancer and prevent a new one, the genetic testing can usually takes roughly 3, sometimes 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's okay.
All right. And we're out of time. Thanks
okay.
so much for being
Thank
here
you.
This morning here on Talk to Town.